Scripture reading this morning from Psalm 139. Hear now the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as a light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred, and I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, or any wicked way in me, as some translate it. And lead me in the way everlasting. As far as the reading of God's word. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you read the news today, there's a lot of bad news in the world. All the violence, all the assassinations, the terrible things that are happening, the genocides in Africa, the Middle East. Daily, you hear news that is hard to hear, let alone all the Christians that are being murdered in so many places. And to come home, you know, also here, right? There are those who are struggling for lack of money, for lack of work, or worse, a lack of love between husband and wife, or children that are rebellious. These things cause us even greater concern and anxiety. But David experienced some of this. On the one side of Psalm 138 and 138, David speaks of great distress and the wrath of his enemies. And on the other side of 139 and 140, he cries, O Lord, deliver me from evil men and preserve me for violent men who plan evil things in their hearts and purpose to make me stumble. So he experienced these things. But then right in the middle of all these anxieties and pressures here in Psalm 139, David confesses that his faith and his trust is not in himself, not in favorable circumstances, nor in good men or living in a peaceful nation, but his confidence is in the Lord. And although he had gone through very deep waters that threatened him many times, he has this wonderful hope and this confidence. And why was that? What's the focus of that? Because it was a simple fact that the Lord knew him. And dear brothers and sisters, is that your confidence this morning, that the Lord knows you? In the anguish of the world, in the problems of evil, in each family, in the diseases that we suffer from, with all which are a consequence of sin, in the midst of all of these things, that we suffer, yet we can confess with great joy and confidence as Christians that our hope is in the Lord who knows us. It's one thing for us to know the Lord, but it's a far greater thing that the Lord knows us. And so consider the word of the Lord for you this morning from Psalm 139. Under the theme from verse 1, the Lord has searched me and known me. And this psalm is divided in four sections of six verses each. And in each one of these sections, he explains a different way in which the Lord knows us. First of all, in verses 1 through 6, David reveals how close and intimate his relationship with the Lord is. He describes that the Lord has searched and known him. But what kind of searching is this? Does God search us like a doctor that examines us to find out what's wrong with us? Or does he search us as a judge in order to expose our faults and our sins and then condemn us? Well, yes, actually, he does both of those things, but it's always for our good. Obviously, there is not one thing that the Lord does not know about us. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, says Hebrews 4, verse 13. But David did not fear that the Lord was examining him to condemn him. He believed that the Lord was his Savior and had forgiven him for his sins. He had repented of his sins. And this becomes very evident in this psalm, that he believed that the Lord really loved him and searched his life, yes, but always to help him through difficult circumstances and to correct him whenever he was going astray. The Lord knows all that there is to know about any one of us. But this particular word know here means something very personally. It's not just a general knowing, but it describes the intimate love relationship there is in marriage between husband and wife. The Lord Jesus Christ knows his bride, whom he has purchased with his own blood and given a new life. He knows her very well. And this was David's confidence. What he's really confessing is, I know that the Lord loves me. He has made me his own. He created me, but he has also redeemed me. He has forgiven me for all my sins. And this gives you a great freedom. And if the Lord knows you that intimately, then he also knows all the particular details of all the suffering that any one of his children may be going through and all the burdens that they have to carry, because he helps them. He doesn't expect you to carry those burdens by yourself. If you trust him, he will carry those burdens for you, as we will see. We have this confidence here in verses 2 to 6. He explains how intimately the Lord knows him. And he's not talking about just the special occasions or the highlights in his life, like the day that the Lord chose him from among all his brothers. You know, they were bigger and older and more mature, but no, the Lord chose him and anointed him when Samuel came to his house. You know, Jesse showed him all the other sons, and Samuel said, aren't there any more? Because none of these the Lord has chosen. No, it was David, but he doesn't talk about that here. Or he doesn't talk about the day that, you know, the whole Israelite army was paralyzed with fear because of Goliath, and him with just a sling and a stone, he took care of that in the strength of the Lord. He doesn't talk about that. He doesn't talk about the way the Lord rescued him out of the hands of Saul when Saul came into the cave. You know, no. He says, the Lord knows me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You know my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Now, who knows you best when you get out of bed and when you go to bed? Your spouse, right? Someone who knows all about you. How you think, even. As husband and wife, you get to know each other so well. You open your heart to each other, and so it is with the Lord. The Lord cares for the ordinary, everyday things in your life. When you have an appointment with a doctor, and you hear some really bad news, Or if you have a sick daughter and you're up all night with her and you're worried about that. Or as a father, you're so pressured on your job, you're feeling overwhelmed. The Lord knows all of those things. If you have no money to pay your bills, where are you going to go? The Lord knows about that. Or if you face the grief of a loved one, your spouse, your husband or your wife, and you have to go on alone. Or even worse, if you have the grief of someone has abandoned you, your father or your mother or a husband or wife. Jesus is there with all these circumstances. You're acquainted with all my ways and thoughts. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And then with a very tender heart, full of love, the Lord feels our anguish and our concerns. And this gives us great comfort, knowing that he is with us in our anxieties to carry us through those very difficult times. But then from our part, we have to remember that we have to give all this grief and anxiety over to him because we really can't carry it or it would crush us at times. But what does 1 Peter 5:7 say? It says, cast all your anxiety on the Lord, for he cares for you. And the word he cares for you is actually the same word as anxiety in the Greek. So put all your anxiety on him, and he will carry that anxiety for you. And so if you're anxious about things, then first thing in the morning, take time with the Lord. Lay it all before him in prayer. And then leave it with him so that all day long you don't have to carry that. And you can just enjoy your day. And when you come at night again, there's other things that have come up during the day. Lay it all before the Lord so you can sleep that night. The Lord wants to carry it for you. Now just imagine this. The Lord of glory, honored by countless angels and saints in heaven, seated on his throne, ruling over all things, has interest in where you live, where you work, how comfortable you are, if you have slept or not, what house you live in, the size of your shoes and your shirt. He cares for all of it, every little detail of your life. Jesus knows everyone who has come to him seeking for his forgiveness and who trust in him to save them. And he promises to care for every detail of your life. Do you believe that this morning? Is that the kind of relationship you have with Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord? That's the kind of relationship he wants you to have with him. So you can confess with David, yes, the Lord knows me and cares for me. And how very blessed you are when you confess that this morning. What a wonderful relationship you have with him, the Lord of glory, who cast his mantle of love over you and has drawn you to himself as his bride, as Ezekiel 16 pictures it, as he shows his love for his people. So you can say what verse 5 says, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. In other words, you're totally protected in every way, safe in the palm of his hands. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the love that Christ has for you? You need to. If you meditate on why Christ, the Lord of glory, would love you and has forgiven you, so you can say with verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It surpasses my comprehension. It is too high. I cannot attain it. It just really blows you away when you think of the tender love Christ has for his bride. So first of all, in verses 1 through 6, you see how intimately the Lord knows those whom he has chosen to be his own. How he loves and cares for them. And this certainly should be a great encouragement to all of us. But now in the next section, verses 7 through 12, David is thinking about the greatness of creation in the universe and heaven and earth. Where can you go in all of creation where the Holy Spirit will not find you? If I descend into heaven, make my bed in hell, you are there. If I go into the depths of the sea and the ends of the universe to flee to from the presence of the Lord, no, it's not possible. And we know so much more even about the vastness of all of creation than David did. You know, the submarines going down to explore the ocean and see all the beauty of God there in the Hubble telescope going out into space, seeing the vastness of the universe and the incredible beauty of all that God has made. But there too, the Lord is present. Omnipresent in His Spirit will find us everywhere. But the wonderful conclusion to what He's saying is in verse 10, that no matter where, how far we go, no matter how alone or how isolated we may feel at times, there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. And the right hand of God refers to the power and the sovereignty that Jesus Christ now has. Now, do you see that in your life? How the Lord has held you in His hand, not only to guide you and protect you, but how He is leading you from day to day and from circumstance to circumstance. Everything that He has created is under His control. No creature, no other power, no demon can touch us or harm us as the bride of Christ without the permission of Jesus Christ. And then He would even turn it to our good if He does put us through a test, if He does put us through the fire for our faith to purify us. What a wonderful truth to be able to confess that Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, your right hand will hold me, the hand of Jesus Christ. And the word presence in verse 7 refers to the face of the Lord. Wherever we are in the universe or whatever difficult situation we're in, Jesus is watching over us. His face is turned towards us, towards those for whom He died. And He's ready to help us and support us in any danger that we're in. He's looking at you and me even at this very moment, because He greeted us this morning with His grace and His peace. And you'll be reminded again when you hear the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And the lifting up His countenance means that He turns His face towards you, wherever situation you're in. Now just imagine, children, young people, the Lord of glory is looking at you right now. And He's got a look of love on His face and in His eyes. You can see His love for you as it is expressed here on the pages of Scripture. He wants you to know His peace and His love for you. And yes, of course, for all of us, there's going to be the time when we have to take the journey through the darkness of death. But that's only for a moment, because Christ has conquered death. So at the very next moment, right after you take the last breath on this earth, Jesus is going to be there waiting for you to embrace you in His love, in the brilliant light of the glory of God. And yes, your body's going to have to be in dust for a while, but then you hear the trumpet is going to come and it's going to sound the coming of the Lord, and all the saints are going to rise from their graves when they hear their Savior's voice. The same voice you're hearing now from the Word of God and by His Spirit. Even the dead will be raised. In a moment's time, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed to receive that new and glorious body of Christ has right now. So no matter where you live or die on this earth, the Lord will never abandon you. He will always be there. His right hand will hold you. And if you can't hold on to His hand, He'll still hold on to yours, because His Spirit continues to be present with you. This is the good news of the gospel, brothers and sisters, for all who repent and trust in Him. There's someone here this morning who hasn't done that. Don't wait. Do it today, now, so that you might know His peace and His love also for you as He calls out to you in His Word. So first of all, in verses 1 through 6, we see that the Lord knows us so very intimately. Whether we sit down, we're awake, or we're asleep, whatever trials we go through. Then in 7 to 12, we see that the Lord knows wherever we are in creation. And there He is ready, He is holding onto our hand to lead us and to guide us. And as verse 12 says, not even the darkness can hide us from Him, for both darkness and our light are alike to the Lord. And now in the third section, verses 13 and 18, He tells us that He already knew us before our birth. Verse 13, you formed my inward parts and knitted me together in my mother's womb. And here God reveals of how life started in such a very tender and beautiful way. You know, all the great scientists and the doctors with all kinds of PhDs, you know, can't tell us how or why life begins or where the spirit of man comes from. They have no answer for that, really, because they believe in the law of evolution. But here the Word of God explains it very beautifully, how the Lord is our Creator, and only through His will does life begin. With God, there's never an accident. All of life begins when He wills it, and He is our Creator who gives us life. There is no other. Look at verses 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance yet being formed. In your book, they were all written. So children and young people, listen. You never have to be ashamed of how you look. Why not? Because it's the Lord Himself who formed you the way you are. You know, the world will tell you that you have to look a certain way in order to be beautiful. But the shape of your face, the shape of your nose, your ears, your eyes, the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, that was all by the Lord's design. He made you boy or girl to become a man or a woman. He determined who your mom and dad would be or where you would be born, if it was Mexico or Africa or Canada. But the Lord has made you so special in His image that each person has her or his own DNA. There's such a variety, diversity, to show the magnificence of our Creator. We're all different, yet we all reflect the image of God. And that's why, as believers in Him, we confess and say, Lord, what a miracle that even when I had no eyes, neither bones nor fingers, You were already thinking about me. That's how precious I was to You. With the same hands that were later crucified on the cross that saved me from my sins, You formed me. Your infinite wisdom gave me a heart to love You. You made my lungs so I could praise You. You made my hands so I could do the work ordained that You have ordained for me to do. You made me, Lord, not to leave me, but to draw me to Yourself and love me forever. Lord, You gave me feet so I could walk with You. You gave me a mouth so I could talk with You. You made me a spirit so I could enjoy the intimate fellowship of Your Spirit. Lord, in the words of verses 14 to 18, I want to say that I will praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works, and that my soul knows right well. How precious, O God, are Your thoughts to me. How vast is the sum of them. And when I awake, I am still with You. So death cannot separate us from Him. Dear brothers and sisters, what a comfort there is in this psalm for all whom the Lord has searched and known. How wonderful that our Lord knows us that intimately and holds us so tenderly. So in the first three sections, we have seen these different ways in which Jesus Christ knows us. But now the Holy Spirit, who has written this psalm, has kind of a surprise ending for us. It's a psalm full of comfort and encouragement so far, and it's still encouraging, but after showing us how greatly blessed we are as His church and His covenant people, to be searched by the Lord and to be known by Him, He also shows us in this last section that He knows how weak we are. And of course, for that reason, the Lord taught us to pray in the model prayer He gave us, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because here in this last section, verses 19 through 24, we see that the Lord knows us very well. Even though we may be so overwhelmingly blessed by the Lord and loved by the Lord, He knows that our own hearts will still deceive us. In verses 19 and 20, David talks about the hatred of those who rise up and hate the Lord. He is against those who speak against the word of the Lord and who defame His holy name. Now, why does he say that? Well, David knew from experience what was happening also among the covenant people of his day. That also later happened with the Pharisees. They didn't practice what they said either. And Jesus gave them a very strong warning in Matthew 23, verse 18. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because outward you appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." They had appearance of being righteous, but actually they lived very unholy lives, and they were misleading other people within the church. They were doing Satan's work. And David experienced this in his own family. That's why the Holy Spirit left his father-in-law, King Saul. He had become so self-deceived and so puffed up in pride that he tried to kill David, who was the anointed of the Lord, and he murdered innocent priests of Nob, who were the mediators that God had appointed to make the sacrifice for their sins. And that's why at the end there was no hope for him. He went to the witch of Endor. You think of Absalom, his own son, who rebelled against his father and did such wicked things. So David saw this self-deception in others. And then David also knew his own heart. How his own heart had blinded him to commit adultery and then even murder a godly man to hide his sin. And that's why David ends here in verse 23 with a prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David has learned the importance of immediate repentance. As he writes in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and do not cast me away from your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your spirit." David learned the weakness of his own heart, even though he had been so wonderfully blessed as and used of the Lord as an instrument, as a prophet of God, wrote so much scripture. And brothers and sisters, if this can happen to David, a man of God's own heart, then don't think it can't happen to you and to me. This is why we need to hear this warning, how the Lord also knows us in this way. Because we're all on the way to the celestial city as believers, but the path is narrow and dangerous, and Satan is very, very busy walking around to see whom he can tempt into sin in order to devour us. And he uses so many different means in our culture to do that. And he knows our human nature that can be so easily deceived. We cannot possibly make it without the Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us and to keep us. Because our most dangerous enemy is not Satan, it is our own heart. As Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says about our hearts being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's also true of our hearts. And the Lord knows our hearts. He says in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give to man according to his ways and to all what his deeds deserve. That's why we need to pray, Lord, search me and know my heart and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. There's a judgment coming for all of us. Jesus knows how weak we are. But that's why, as our Savior, he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. But then Scripture also tells us that we need to be so careful not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. And quench means to put out, put him out of our life. We don't want to be like a Saul. We want to be faithful until the end. We want the Lord to search our hearts. As Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword and judges the thoughts and discerns the intents of our hearts. That's what the Spirit of God does. He searches our hearts continuously to see if there's any kind of sinful thought in us. And then he urges us immediately to repent before that sinful thought grows into a sinful action. And so, dear brothers and sisters, young people, children, listen. All of you need to pray that the Lord will search your heart and know you. And even when we're not faithful, the Lord is faithful to do that. He's actually doing it as we speak. Because he is here in his word and by his Spirit, and he's now, right now, speaking to you and scanning your hearts and thoughts right now. Just as you scan your computers for viruses so that no harm will be done to your work, so the Holy Spirit scans our hearts to cleanse us from sin so that no harm will come to us. Because the Lord doesn't want that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. The Lord has come to us in his grace and in his mercy, and he shows how much he loves us. But sometimes these sins come up and we need to repent in order that the joy of our salvation will be restored to us and that our hearts will fill with joy and thanksgiving and praise so we can say, oh Lord, take my hands and my feet and my lips and my heart and every part of my body and soul that you have created and sanctified and made holy when you washed me in your precious blood. Now use me, Lord, that I may serve you for your glory, for your honor of your most holy name. For you alone are worthy. And dear brothers and sisters, if that is what your heart is saying this morning, then without a doubt you can also say, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. For Lord, you have searched me and know me. Now lead me in the way everlasting. And if you cannot say that this morning, then I urge you to flee to Christ. Ask him, Lord, please show me my sin that I may repent and be forgiven so that you may go home this morning knowing that he has searched your heart and that he knows you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the intimacy of your love revealed here of how you know your children, Lord, and you do know us. We thank you for that. But then, Lord, you've also shown us the battle that we're in until the last day and the last moment on this earth against the flesh, Lord, and how Satan is a very real enemy and how, Lord, we need again and again to repent of our sins so that we might be cleansed. So that, Lord, we might know the wonder of your love again and again. How wonderful it will be to serve you perfectly, Lord. This battle is over, but for now, Lord, help us, we pray. And you are faithful always to search our hearts. You have given us your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. How precious that is and how precious we are in your sight. And we know, Lord, that we cannot save ourselves. It's only you who can do that, and you are doing that as you send your Spirit to us and your word. Lord, then help all of us to hear it this morning and go home rejoicing in what you have done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.